بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد، we have just finished Surah Al-Isra, and I thought that it would really not be appropriate to let this surah go by without talking about some of its salient verses, and in particular the verse that talks about the rights of Allah and then the rights of the parents, in which Allah says in the very famous verse, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that your Lord has decreed, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ, your Lord has decreed. Allah didn't say, I am decreeing upon you. Allah didn't say, this is the ruling upon you. Allah is speaking as if this is a done deal. There is no dispute. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ, end of story. It has been decreed before you came onto this earth. It is not a subject of dispute. It's not going to be any negotiable here. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ, your Lord has decreed. What has He decreed? أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ, that you worship Him alone. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and that you show ihsan to your parents. And as we know in the Quran and in the Sunnah, the rights of the parents are second only to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is enough of an indication of how important and sacred the rights of the parents are. There is no secondary right to Allah other than the parents. After Allah immediately comes the parents. This is the message of the Quran throughout. And Allah Azza wa Jal even says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ. In other words, worship Allah and be good to parents. He didn't say, and then be good. He didn't say part number two. He said, wow, which is harf al-atuf, which means it is as if it is being equated, even though we know it's not equivalent. Worshipping Allah is more important than being good to parents. But Allah made it so important, it is as if it is almost the same. And the phrase, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that you should have ihsan to your parents. The very famous scholar of the Arabic language, one of the earliest linguists of the Arabic language, is the famous Ar-Raghib al-Asfahani. Ar-Raghib al-Asfahani, who died around 482 or so. Ar-Raghib al-Asfahani said, the definition of ihsan is that you give more than what is expected and you're content to receive less than what is required upon you. I repeat, ihsan means you give more than what you're expected to give. This is part number one. Half of ihsan, whatever is expected, you do beyond that. And then you obviously expect something back. You are content with less than what is required back upon you, right? You give more and you're content with receiving back less. This is the state of ihsan. And this is the highest verb in the Arabic language to show the proper treatment. There's no word, there's no verb higher than this. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ, that once either one or both of them reach kibar, reach the elderly age, Allah says, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Don't even say uff to them, and don't rebuke them, and speak to them marvelous words or generous words. Uff in the Arabic language, originally, the word uff meant the dirt that is collected under the nails. This is what uff actually meant in the classical Arabic, pre-Islamic Arabic. This is the dirt that is collected under the nails. And it's an irritation, right? Ugh, disgusting, like that. You know, this is what uff was called. The dirt that is collected under the nails. And it was then used to express the slightest level of contempt. Uff is like we say, ugh, like that in English. This is what uff is. Just the slightest level of contempt. Ibn Abbas said, had there been a word lesser than uff that the Arabs knew, Allah would have used it here. Had there been a word lesser than uff that the Arabs knew, Allah would have used it here. There is no word lesser to show your irritation than uff. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. Don't even say uff. When do you say uff? When you're frustrated. When you're irritated. Uff is not an expression of anger. Uff is an expression that you are frustrated. This is what uff means. And Allah says, don't even say this to them. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. And then Allah goes further than this. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't rebuke them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And say to them the most generous, the most kareem of words. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And lower over them the wings of mercy. And this is a metaphorical language that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that just like the mother bird protects her infants with her wing and protects and shelters the infant from heat, from cold, from praise, from enemies. The mother bird, it lowers the wing. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Notice, this is a parable that has an implicit message here. Your parents did the same for you. You should do the same for them. Because it is the parents who lower the wings of mercy on the infant. Correct? But in this verse, Allah is saying to the children, you need to lower the wings of mercy on your parents. Why? Because there's a reverse psychology here. In that, they did it for you. Now it's your turn to do it for them. It's beautiful imagery here. Because as we said, it is not the child who lowers the wing on the parent. It is the parent who does it to the child. But Allah in this verse commands the child, i.e. us, to our parents. Why? To remind us that once upon a time it was the other way around. And now it is your job to do that. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And you pray to Allah, make dua to Allah, that, O Allah, have mercy on them, even as they raised me, as I was a child. And this again shows us that the concept of being good to parents, it's not coming out of the blue. It is because of all that they have done for us. And subhanAllah, most of us here are parents. You know how much love a parent has for a child. And I have said this many times before, that this love, wallahi, it is a miracle from Allah. This love is a miracle from Allah, without which life on earth would cease to exist. Muslim or non-Muslim, kafir or mu'min, the love that comes from the heart of a parent, this is a miracle from Allah. And this love is a type of love that is it's unparalleled in human existence. No one loves you like your parents do. No one. Not your wife, not your husband, not even your child. Wallahi, not even your child. The type of love that a parent has, it is a selfless love. Will give and give and give and expect nothing back in return. And this is a type of love, it is a miracle if you think about it. Because look at how much time, look at how much effort, look at how much frustration the kids bring. Still the parents continue to give and give and give. And if Allah had not created this love in parents, then humanity would cease to exist. Because wallahi, children do drive parents crazy. Teenagers make you go wild. Look at how much money. Look, children are an incentive for me and you to go to work. Think about it. It's because of the children that we want to work overtime, isn't it? It's one to take care of the kids. You're going to bend over backwards. Wallahi, this is a miracle from Allah. So Allah is saying, this love I created in your parents, now you need to give it back to them. You need to give it back to them, and these are the incentives for you. Because Allah knows that the reverse love is not as pure as the love that came from top down. The love that we're going to give back is not the same. We all love our parents, we all do. But it is a love that is, you need to struggle with it. You need to remind yourself about it. You need to calm yourself down. You need to control your tongue. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. So Allah has given us all of these incentives. And of course the Quran and the Sunnah are full of the rights of the parents. Our Prophet ﷺ said that, إِنَّ رِضَى الرَّبِّ بِرِضَى الْوَالِدَيْنِ, that the happiness or the contentment, excuse me, the pleasure of Allah is found in pleasing the parents. وَإِنَّ غَضَبَ الرَّبْ, and the anger of Allah is found in making the parents angry. Hadith in Muslim Imam Ahmad. The pleasure of Allah is found in pleasing the parents. And the anger of Allah will be incurred in displeasing the parents. And in the famous hadith that all of you have a phrase of, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I want to enter Jannah. How do I enter Jannah? How do I enter Jannah? So the Prophet ﷺ said, that is your mother alive? Is your mother alive? The man said, yes, she is alive. So the Prophet ﷺ said, find her feet and put yourself to it. Ilzimha. Stick yourself to her feet. This is an expression in Arabic, of course, which means humble yourself to her khidmah. Humble yourself to her service, right? Go stick yourself to her feet. فَثَمَّ الْجَنَّةِ, and there you will find Jannah. And from this we get the common phrase that Jannah تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِ الْأُمَّهَاتِ, that Jannah is underneath the feet of the mother. The Prophet ﷺ didn't quite say that phrase, but he said a phrase which is similar to it, that إِلْزِمْهَا, that basically stick yourself to her shin or her legs, فَثَمَّ الْجَنَّةِ. Jannah will be around that area. So he gave this metaphor, this parable here, that lower yourself, humble yourself, down to the khidmah of your mother, to service your mother, you're going to find Jannah around that area. And in the famous hadith reported in Sunan al-Nisa'i in this wording, and it is also in al-Bukhari, that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have come to dedicate myself to you. And I have come all the way from Yemen. Now of course he is in Medina. Yemen is 1,000 miles away. I have come all the way from Yemen. And I have come to dedicate my life to whatever you want. And I want to do jihad fi sabilillah. This is of course one of the highest things that we can do. A legitimate jihad. I have come to dedicate myself to you, your khidmah, and to jihad fi sabilillah. And I've come all the way from Yemen. And I've even left my parents who are old and weak. I've left them even though they need me, and they're even crying because they need me, but I've come to you instead. In other words, he's boasting. He's boasting that I left my parents crying to come to you. This is how sincere I am. So the Prophet ﷺ istaghraba hadha. He found this amazing, and he said, do you really want the pleasure of Allah? The man said, of course. So the Prophet ﷺ said, irji' ilayhima. Go back to them right now. Go back to them right now. وَأَضْحِكْهُمَا. And make them laugh. Just as you cause them to cry, that's how you're going to find Jannah. You came here thinking that you're going to come to Jannah by leaving them crying, and you came. Now notice, this man became a Sahabi by coming to Medina. He wasn't a Sahabi. He came to Medina, he became a Sahabi because he saw the Prophet, right? And he's entering Medina and he's so happy that yes, I'm going to dedicate my life to the service of Islam. But he says, I left my parents crying. So the Prophet said, is this your version of Islam? Basically, he didn't say that way, but saying, is this what you think you're going to enter Jannah? By causing your parents to cry and coming to me, he is Rasulullah, right? And wanting to do jihad fi sabilillah. There's something that is even more important than jihad fi sabilillah, and that is making khidmah and giving the rights of your parents. So he said, go back to your parents and make them laugh. وَأَضْحِكْهُمَا. Make them laugh just as you cause them to cry. And so this is the month of Ramadan, brothers and sisters. It is a month where, wallahi, that we need to, after the worship of Allah, the second right we need to do is to remember the rights of the parents. And I've said this incident in the khutbahs that I've given as well, and there's no haraj in reminding ourselves of it. It's a very beautiful incident from the life of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, that Ibn Abbas was doing tawaf around the Kaaba. Ibn Abbas lived in Mecca and Taif, and he would always be in that vicinity. So he's doing tawaf around the Kaaba, and there was a man doing tawaf with an elderly lady on his back. He was carrying this elderly lady on his back. When he recognized Ibn Abbas, he came running to him, and he said, Ya Aba Abdurrahman, that was his kunya. He said, Ibn Abbas, I have come from such and such a place. And he mentioned a faraway place. They say it was in the area of Iraq or faraway place. I have come from such and such a place. And this lady on my back, she is my mother. And she had the desire to come for Hajj for so many years. But we couldn't afford an animal, a camel or a horse. And so I put her on my back and I have come from that place in order to perform the Hajj. Have I now fulfilled the rights of my mother on me? Have I now fulfilled the rights of my mother? Khalas, intaha al-amr, how are we done? And so Ibn Abbas smiled and he said, what you have done is good, but you haven't even fulfilled a fraction of what your mother did for you. You haven't even done a fraction. The man said, Ya Ibn Abbas, I have come mashyan ala al-akhd, I've come walking from that place with my mother on my back, and you say that I haven't even done a fraction? And notice, wallahi, this is psychology that will make us shudder. Look at what Ibn Abbas said. True person who understands human nature. He said, you haven't done a fraction because, why? When your mother took care of you, she did it out of genuine love. Wanting to see you flourish. Wanting to see you grow. Wanting to see you live for a long time. Now that you're doing it back, you're doing it as a burden. As a favor back to her. Waiting for her to die. How can you compare the two? How can you compare the two? She did it wanting to see you live. You are doing it back. Just khalas, this is my repay back the favor, and you're just waiting for her to die. How can you compare that love and compassion with your attitude of khalas, you scratch my back, I'm going to scratch yours, I'm going to pay you back. You have done good, but you haven't done a fraction of what she did for you. And this is the reality of the rights of our parents, our brothers and sisters. Final hadith, a man came to the Prophet and he said, O Messenger of Allah, my father has died. Is there anything that I can do to basically bring him benefit? So if your parents are alive, of course you need need to do as much as you can physically and financially and be in touch with them and call them and have good relations with them and visit them as frequently as possible. If one or the both of them have gone on, the rights of the parents don't end even after they have left this earth. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Ajal, of course there's so much you can do. And he said, الدُّعَاءُ لَهُمَا. You make dua. You make dua for them and you seek forgiveness for them. So you make dua. What is dua for in this case? Oh Allah, make their qabr a vast place. Oh Allah, increase their ranks in Jannah. And you make istighfar number two. You say, oh Allah, forgive their sins. And oh Allah, put away any evil that they have done. And then the third thing he said, and this is a number of hadith I'm putting together. The third thing he said we can do for the parents that have gone on. He said, you can give sadaqah on their behalf. And then he also said, you can sacrifice a hadi, an udhiyah, a qurbani. You can do it on behalf of your parents. And he said, you can go for hajj on behalf of your parents. And this is one of the best things you can do as long as you've done hajj for yourself. And you can also do an umrah on behalf of your parents. And he said, one of the things which is commonly lost and not done, he said, visiting the relatives and the friends that your parents had, and you don't have much relationship with them, but you resurrect those relationships. You resurrect those friendships and those relationships in order to bring about basically that memory of your parents. So one of the things that we can do, you have distant relatives, they had friends, they're not a part of your circle of friends. You visit those friends and you visit those relatives for the sake of birr of your parents. Bottom line, brothers and sisters, there is a never-ending job that we have to repay back to our parents, a never-ending sadaqah, never-ending dua, never-ending istighfar. And this is a part and parcel of being a righteous Muslim in this month of Ramadan. Let us see what is our relationship with our parents. Let us see what we can do to increase and better that relationship if they are alive. And if they have gone away from this world, then there is much that we can do in the akhirah. One final athar that comes to mind, I forgot the name of the sahabi, but one of the sahaba's fathers passed away. And he was crying very much at the funeral. And so one of the other sahaba came and comforted him and tried to console him. And he said, oh so-and-so, I am not crying just because my father has died. I know that inshallah he's in a better place now than he was in this world. I know that. But I'm crying because my biggest door to Jannah has now been shut. I'm crying because my biggest door to Jannah has now been shut. Think about this, brothers and sisters, for those of you whose parents are alive, that this is your easiest door to Jannah. And this is أَوْسَطُ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ, the largest and the middle door to Jannah. Think about this, that do whatever you can to help your parents, to have that good sila, to have that good relationship with them. And the dua of the parents is the best thing that you can ever ask for in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us righteous children and righteous progeny. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our parents. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to be resurrected with our parents and be with our parents in Jannatul Firdaws al-A'la. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.